Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I am your host, Guy Alvarez from B2B Social. And today we're going to talk about how the pandemic caused a shift to digital legal marketing. Our guest today is going to talk about some of the lessons learned as a result of the pandemic. So our guest today is Lisa Vicine. She is the Chief Marketing Officer at Arnall Golden Gregory, where she spearheads the firm's business development, communications, branding, and marketing technology initiatives. Lisa works with her team to facilitate collaboration across the firm's industry teams and practices. She also helps to leverage the firm's content across multiple external channels. Lisa has nearly 30 years of experience in marketing and business development in the professional services industry, including 20 years in legal marketing. Welcome to the show, Lisa.
Thanks, Guy. Thanks for having me today. I'm proud to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here, and I can't wait to dive into the topic we have today. But before we get started, tell us a little bit more about yourself. How did you get into legal marketing?
So that is a long story, probably, that I'll shorten for you so I don't bore your listeners. I actually had spent some time working in the advertising agency world sort of early in my career. And I was really looking for an in-house position. And through a contact that I had in the industry, they knew of a position that was open in legal marketing, which I had no idea what it was about. But I liked the stability of the position in the industry. I liked the challenge of learning something new. So I want to say it was 2002 was my first legal marketing job. And here I am 20 years later. Still in the industry. So something clicked and I continue to enjoy it.
Excellent. Excellent. That's great. So let's talk a little bit about how the pandemic caused a shift to digital legal marketing. Let's talk about how did you first determine that there was a shift and that shifting to digital marketing was something that your firm had to do?
Well, it was interesting. It was, I'd say, in the early days of COVID, I became keenly aware that our attorneys were really keeping a close eye on the rapidly changing COVID environment, partly because they were just being inundated with inquiries from clients with novel legal issues they were asking our attorneys to solve. And so a lot of those inquiries and responses led to the generation of AGG content that we essentially repurposed and developed into client alerts and legal insights. And because it was so voluminous, it became clear that we needed to find digital channels for distributing all of this content. And although I was the one that was encouraging our attorneys to reach out to their clients personally, ping them with how they're faring in this uncertainty created by COVID, it became apparent to me that that wasn't the only outlet we needed to use to be able to reach our clients. Additionally, it became clear early on that conferences were slowing or coming to a halt. So we had to find new ways to showcase our attorneys as thought leaders. And although we had hosted webinars before, we really ramped up the number and the type of webinars that we were producing because we just didn't have the ability to be speaking at conferences on a regular basis that we had been accustomed to. And as I mentioned before, client alerts and legal insights also became a very apparent, viable means for reaching our clients digitally. Again, to replace the interactions, the interpersonal interactions at conferences, we started using Zoom like thousands of others, and we tried to get creative. We created Zoom client roundtables and numerous virtual social client events to help capture some of what we were missing and losing out on by not going to conferences. And I'd say the last area that caused us to shift to digital was because we were realizing that the alerts and the emails were starting to cause fatigue early on for clients. So we had to be creative, and how else do we reach our folks, our targets? And we went the multimedia route like this, podcasts. I think we launched 3 or 4 podcasts during COVID. We were doing videos. And so we were really trying to find alternate and creative ways and interesting ways for our clients to be able to hear and come into contact with what we had to say about COVID and the way it was impacting the legal landscape.
So how did your attorneys react to this shift?
Well, you know, they had traditionally been engaged, although not to this volume, with developing content that we were sharing through client alerts and legal insights. That wasn't new. The difference was the volume and the amount of content that they were writing. You know, the writers just wrote more. It came down to those that were already writing content were just writing more content. There were other attorneys in the firm that felt they needed to get engaged in it. Maybe they hadn't traditionally done so. I think what we'll cover also sort of later in the podcast is what we learned from the analytics. You know, when you go digital, there's a ton of data that you can refer to that will show if and how your audience is engaging. And so once we started sharing those numbers more broadly across the firm, other attorneys began to realize that this was a really good way for them to reach the people that they needed to reach.
So what was your digital marketing strategy? How did you put that together and what did it look like?
Well, as I mentioned, you know, the evolving COVID environment, it became a massive fertile ground for law firm content. Every firm was pushing out alerts, legal updates, and they were needed by clients. Clients were appreciative of them. They needed them, but they were just inundated. And so while our firm was in the fortunate position of having, you know, a pretty good base of subject matter experts, we had to be conscious that although the content we were producing was helpful for our clients, the way they were receiving it was what we needed to work on. Or I guess I should say the way we were distributing it was where we needed to be more strategic and determine what is the best way to get this information out and what's the right cadence. And so in addition to just the straightforward email marketing campaigns, we were trying to find other channels for the content, as I mentioned, podcasts and multimedia. But we were also using our social media channels, LinkedIn and Twitter. Our website, obviously, was a great vehicle for posting all of our content-related content. And JD Supra is a subscription service we subscribe to, and they had played a large role in helping us reach others we wouldn't have otherwise reached. But there were some steps that I thought I would take you through that we really put into place that helped with the structure. And I have a firm belief in if your internal structure isn't in good shape, then your external efforts are gonna fail. So what we did was, because we had so many attorneys that were closely following COVID, we felt we had to pull together a centralized team of attorneys that were, you know, handled different subject matter within COVID. So we didn't necessarily, so we wouldn't have multiple attorneys working on alerts for similar topics. And so the marketing team worked very closely with this COVID team of attorneys to help vet content that was coming in from the attorneys, make sure that we hadn't necessarily touched on that subject before. We weren't maybe, you know, challenging what maybe another attorney had said. We wanted to make sure that we were saying things the right way. So we did have a group of attorneys that served as advisors, I guess, if you will, for the marketing team. We also put in addition to the team, we also put in a COVID alert process where before any content started becoming, started getting drafted, it was really vet your topic by our gatekeeper on the marketing team, which was our business development manager, so that she could interact with the COVID team to say, have we touched on this subject before? Is this something that we should be engaged in from a content perspective before any drafting began? Because we had some instances where we would have had a, you know, 2-page alert that had been drafted only to find out it was of similar nature, or maybe it was contradictory to what somebody else had distributed. And so we had to scrap it. The other thing we put in place, and this was internally, is because we were issuing so many client alerts, you know, multiple alerts a day, we felt it was just as important for our own attorneys to know what the firm was sending to its clients. And so the marketing team was diligent about creating a daily digest that we emailed attorney-wide and said, here's the alerts that went out. Here are forwarding copies if you'd like to reach out to your clients directly. Because we thought the worst thing that could happen is if the client calls one of our attorneys saying, hey, I just saw this alert your firm pushed out, and our attorney had no idea, you know?
Yeah, that would not be good. No. Great.
Totally. And then maybe the last point to touch on before we move on is analytics. You know, we really very early on started looking at the analytics, which channels were having the best engagement and best response. And then how do we interpret this data? You know, we had, because of the heavy volume of content in the webinars, we had to decide, well, how are we tracking this data? What do we do with this data? And what does it mean so that we can better inform attorneys how well this content is being received and help make recommendations for the best outlets and the best content to push out?
That's fabulous. I see a lot of firms that will collect data, but they don't necessarily know what to do with it or how to actually gain insights from the data. So the fact that you were not only collecting it, but, you know, analyzing it and making recommendations is really, you know, the right strategy when it comes to digital.
You know, I think the most important piece there, frankly, is the who. You know, I think it's who is reading our content, who is engaging, and how often are they engaging. I think the one piece that we probably were missing and are still missing, and if there's a listener out there, I would love to hear their ideas for this, is we can't at this point necessarily track behavior. So for instance, mm-hmm. we have analytics that we can run through each of our individual platforms. You know, the website has an analytics tool, our social media pages have an analytics tool, our podcast platforms, you know, our webinars, you name it. And what I'm trying to do now is sort of connect the dots on what does that journey look like? You know, is mm-hmm. what platform has the client engaged in? What piece of information or content has caused them to visit some of our other channels? And so it's the who and maybe the why, I think, that I'm really looking to get to next.
Well, we can talk more about that later, because I can definitely help you with that. There's a couple of platforms that can help you to do that. So.
Awesome.
All right. So yeah. Let's talk a little bit about resources, both internal and external. So obviously with a shift in strategy comes as well a shift in skill sets. What internal and external resources did you use to support this new digital marketing strategy?
Yeah. So we were fortunate to already have had on our team a digital content coordinator whose role was to develop and maintain all of our visual-based marketing content that was within our firm's brand guidelines. And while most of what that she was engaged in was, you know, sort of your traditional print pieces and collateral, she did have some engagement in producing some digital, you know, some social media posts, some legal advisories, client alerts, and newsletter. Where we expanded her role significantly was the support of, as I mentioned before, all the digital, the multimedia content, which was the podcasts mm-hmm. and the videos. And we were mm-hmm. producing those pieces on a much more aggressive timeline than we had in the past. And so there was a lot of, you know, ramp up time, understanding which platforms we should be using for recordings, buying recording equipment, editing equipment. And really, you know, she was learning on the job, but she had a willingness and she had an aptitude for it. So we were lucky. I'd say the other position within our team that was probably heavily altered by digital and what it was producing was our marketing coordinator, who we essentially turned into a massive data steward over the course of, you know, a couple of years. Mm-hmm. Again, as I mentioned before, just to make sense of the analytics, you know, we're marketing folks and we have a tendency to leave no stone unturned. And so when it came to data and the volume of data, we felt we couldn't ignore it. And so we had to figure out what do we do with it. And so we had this person that was dedicated to really spending most of her time just pulling registration reports, attendee reports, social media followers, email marketing campaign analytics, and just piecing together as best she could what it all meant.
Mm, yeah. So it's a big problem that a lot of firms are facing right now, for sure. So what marketing technology platforms are you using today?
Well, today we're in a much better position than we were during COVID. So, the timing unfortunately worked out where we were actually looking to roll onto a new CRM and a new email marketing platform. We hadn't quite gotten there yet when COVID hit, and we just didn't have the ability or the resources to do that. So we were using a really old CRM system, an email marketing platform, and I can't give enough credit to our marketing team members that were essentially, you know, using Band-Aids on the old systems, you know, trying to get optimal performance from them. So it was a bit of a struggle. The fact that we were able to be as successful as we were speaks volumes to the effort they put in. But these days, you know, since then, we've had the time to be able to roll on to a new CRM. So our CRM has always been rooted in Microsoft Dynamics. And so we just rolled on board Legal 360 by HSO.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we're using that for the CRM and the ERM. And our email marketing platform is Concept, which work. Yeah, so it works seamlessly with Legal 360. I'm very conscious, though, of how we are implementing these systems and how we're rolling them out to the firm. So, for instance, right now, I'd call it phase one, we have just our marketing team engaged in these two systems. And until we are comfortable with using them, understand the functionality, really understand the bells and whistles, yep. Then phase two of this is how do we roll it out to the attorneys? Because our attorneys have not traditionally been on the CRM. And so we're working through, you know, use case and adoption techniques to get the optimal performance from the system and to get our attorneys using it, you know, finding it worthwhile and getting them to use it.
And it's very different. Getting the attorneys to use any type of new technology requires really a what's in it for me kind of evaluation, right? You have to really help them to understand how using this new technology is going to make their lives easier and make their work more productive and more rewarding, I would think.
Absolutely.
And so what are some of the challenges and obstacles that you faced during this shift? And how were you able to overcome them?
I think some of this goes back to some of what I said earlier. I feel like some of the bigger obstacles were internal. You know, how do we structure all of this content that our attorneys are writing about, that they are spending their valuable time writing about, they are connecting with their clients, they're understanding where their problems are. It was the internal coordination, you know, who's doing what, who's writing about what, and how does marketing serve as the gatekeeper? And so as I mentioned before, the reason we established some internal COVID teams, both on the attorney side and the marketing business development side, was just so we could stay in closer contact with each other. You know, we could each serve as the gatekeeper for content coming in. And we could make sure that, you know, attorneys weren't sort of spinning their wheels or spending time writing a piece when we knew it wasn't going to, you know, pass through and end up being sent externally because either it was a, you know, a different position than someone else had taken or it had already been covered. So we really worked closely with our managing partner and a couple of other partners to help just solidify, well, who's the internal team? It's not to say they're the only subject matter experts. It's just the internal team that could help marketing vet the topics and the content. And then outside of that team, I mean, we had a roster of subject matter experts that had already put in the time in learning particular areas. And so they were sort of served as the main folks we went to, or really when the topic had been raised, those were the folks we really vetted the topics with. And so once we got through, I think, that structure and attorneys within the firm became more comfortable that we had this structure in place, it then became a little bit more manageable from both the data collection, data vetting, and data creation perspective.
Right. And how did you measure engagement?
Well, so engagement, as I mentioned, you know, the world of digital marketing is rooted in analytics. And so I would say the biggest aspect of that was our webinars. We were seeing huge numbers of people registering for our webinars. We'd have upwards of, you know, 1,000 people registered, 900 people attending. I mean, these were numbers we had never seen before. And so we did our best. We went painstakingly through those lists and helped identify who were clients of the firm, who were prospects of the firm, how they engaged. Did they ask a question? Did they comment on something? And then if it was a client, we'd find out, well, who the relationship partner was. And we would shoot them an email saying, you know, these 40 clients of yours attended this recent webinar. These five folks asked a question. Here's the question they asked. We think you should follow up with them, connect with the speaker, address their questions specifically, just so they feel like they have that personal touch. And so that's how we handled webinars. Mm-hmm. From the social media engagement, we tracked, same thing, you know, who was engaging in some way, a like or a comment. We tracked new followers. On our website, we were tracking our COVID resource page, seeing folks, which alerts and topics were garnering the most visits. And then we were crossing that through to the website bios, and where, you know, an author had written a piece of content, we immediately would see a spark to their bio. So we were letting the attorneys know about those statistics. And I think I mentioned before, we have a JD Super account. We're able to see, you know, which of their subscribers were reading our content, asking questions. We would flip that to the attorney. So we did as much as we could with a small team. Yep. And a very manual process, and not letting that data go to waste, finding ways that we could really create a picture for our attorneys, which of their clients were engaging. And then prospects, we did some external research to find what industry they were in, you know, maybe what their position was. And then, you know, depending on the practice or the industry team that most closely aligned with that client, we would send that information to a team leader. And then we would discuss the right follow-up.
Sounds like you guys made a huge shift. That's amazing. Congrats to you. That's really, really amazing. And it sounds like you've obviously not done, and it's never really done, I guess. It looks like you guys are going in the right direction. That's so exciting.
Thank you. Yes, I appreciate that. There was a lot of learning along the way. I'm sure we did a lot of things incorrectly, but you know, we're still chugging along. And I think we've set a lot of baseline processes and learnings that we're just continuing to build on. And so it's been very, very impactful. I think it's upped the value that the marketing team has brought to the firm. And so I hope our attorneys are confident in what we're bringing to the table.
I hope so too. They better be.
That's right.
So Lisa, we're almost out of time, but before I let you go, obviously not all law firms were able to make that shift or are just in the process of making that shift. And it sounds like you learned a lot from, you know, the things that went well, but also we typically learn a lot more by the things that didn't go well. If you could provide, you know, a little bit of advice to our audience, perhaps some marketing professionals that are trying to make that shift but don't really know how to start or what to do, what would you say to them?
So I would say, if you are a marketing team leader and you're not currently well-versed in people, or invested, I should say, in people and or systems that will support a move to the digital marketing environment, then that's probably your first to do. You know, there are programs that you can learn about how to shift to digital marketing technology platforms. You should consider investing. There are marketing technologists and digital marketing positions and experiences out there, and it's growing. Become familiar with the industry, because your best resource, in a sense, if you're a leader of a team, is yourself. And so if you don't understand the systems, you don't understand the talent, you don't understand the data, you don't understand how to apply the data, it's going to be very difficult for you to be able to direct your team in the direction that your firm needs to go. I'd say if you are not a leader and you work within a marketing team, I would say, you know, I guess I'm making a prediction and maybe I won't be correct in this, but I would say data analytics and data and marketing technology is the future of legal marketing. And so if you have any interest in either of those areas, I'd say take some classes, look for webinars that your industry organization provides, ask your supervisors or managers if you can take, you know, invest in learning about those new areas, because if a marketing department doesn't have people that are dedicated in this area, you could be that person and you could make a significant difference and add a lot of value to the marketing team and the firm.
Love it. Fantastic advice. All right, Lisa. Well, thank you so much for your time and for being on the show today. It was really informative, and I'm sure our audience got a lot of value out of it. And I'd love to have you back sometime in the future, and you can tell us how things have evolving and what new great things you guys are doing.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed it. And yes, I'd love to be on another time. Happy to do it. So I hope this was helpful for folks, and I hope they get some good takeaways from it.
Excellent. And for our audience, if you enjoyed today's episode, please go to goodtobesocial.com/podcast. You can subscribe there so you don't miss any future episodes. You can also check out some of our great past episodes. Lisa, thank you again for your time. It was great to have you. And for our audience, thank you for your time, and we'll see you next time.